Our scripture text this week is out of Luke's Gospel again. Luke is concentrating on all the teaching of Jesus, and I think it's important that we pay attention to what Jesus taught to the original disciples, too. So we pick it up in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10, New Living Translation. Now, this is the story of the lost sheep. And the other part of this chapter is about the lost coin and also the story of the lost son, as we know as the prodigal. Hear God's word. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such despicable people, even eating with them. So Jesus went on to use this illustration. Red Letter Edition. If you had 100 sheep and one of them strayed away and was lost in the wilderness, wouldn't you leave the 99 others to go in the search for the one lost until you found it? And then you will be joyfully carry it home on your shoulders. When you arrive, you would call together your friends and neighbors to rejoice with you because your lost sheep was found. In the same way, heaven will be happier over one lost sinner who returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Verse 8. Or suppose a woman has 10 valuable silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and look in every corner of the house and sweep every nook and cranny until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call her friends and neighbors to rejoice with her because she had found her lost coin. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels even when one sinner repents. May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. I entitled my message this week, Missing. Have you ever seen any of those ads along the road or on a building, and you'll see a picture of a dog, or in this case a beagle, and it says, missing, 12 pounds, black, brown, and white, 2 years old, name Barnabas, missing, and a phone number if you happen to find him or see him. I don't know about you, but I know it makes me feel sad looking at this kind of poster or anything on the sign along the road or even on the Facebook page, because we experienced it personally with a lost dog. Thank God we found him. But I think the first thing you think is that you hope the little dog can be found. You may think of a child who has lost him or an owner who is in tears. You know, they do become part of the family, and when you miss one or lose one, it's emotional. We hope that the little puppy is safe and that they have not come to any harm, because you know he is defenseless and small. Everyone's greatest fear is to lose something or someone he or she loves deeply. You might lose an engagement ring or be devastated by the loss, looking everywhere for it, because you know it costs a lot of money and it holds relational and sentimental value to you. You may be overjoyed at finding a family heirloom that had been missing for years and has just now been recovered. Your child may cry rivers of tears on the loss of a cherished stuffed bear or animal. But all of these, I think, pale in comparison to losing someone dear to you. You think about it, how many of us can recall the sense of panic when you're in a store and you look around and the child who was behind you 1 second ago has seemed to simply vanish. It's hard to explain that kind of anxiety that kicks in immediately while searching frantically for that child. What do you do when you find him or her? Well, you might spaddle him a little bit and say, you know, but immediately I think you enfold the child in your arms as though you'll never let him go. It's no mistake that in our scripture text today, Jesus tells us a triplet of tales. Unfortunately, only two of them appear in the lectionary reading for the day. The triplet one is also about the prodigal son. But these two include the lost sheep and the lost coin, and then later in the chapter, the lost son. In the first account, one sheep has wandered away from the flock and now missing. The shepherd leaves the rest of the flock to go and search for the missing sheep. I think all of us would do the same. Perhaps you have five or six pets at home. God bless you if you do. That's a lot of pets. But if one called Fluffy, the house cat, accidentally gets out, you will lead the other pet safely in the house while you search high and low to recover your missing pet. Now, in Jesus' day, sheep were not pets, but they were very valuable. In fact, they were a commodity, and the shepherd had responsibility for their well-being. So when you spend that much time with an animal, you grow to know them. You know their personalities, you know their idiosyncrasies, and even their wiles. You get to know an animal personally, if you would. When your pet has been recovered, you breathe a sigh of relief and perhaps give them an extra treat or pet them more than usual. You feel the joy of their recovery. The second story is very similar to the first, but it involves a missing coin. Obviously, an item of value. Now, we don't know if it's simply a denarius or whether it was an extremely valuable collector's item. For us today, perhaps it's a coin valued at several thousand dollars. You've misplaced it, and you surely want it back. So you search high and low and everywhere possible to regain that loss, and certainly the recovery of the coin, or in this case, a commodity, which was the sheep, is a reason for celebration. But these are nothing compared to humans, us who are made in God's image. Remember, I always say, whenever we're looking at Jesus' parables and the things that he taught, how tricky he could be sometimes whenever he was telling them the story. Well, here's another one of his great moves. The third story is also about a loss, but this time it's about a son, the prodigal son. Not the little boy gone missing in the supermarket, but a teenager, perhaps, who had gotten into a mess, if you would, who has bucked his parents and left home without the emotional maturity to do so. Now, that's a great loss to any family. And imagine for a moment that your teenage son or daughter, or perhaps a grandson or granddaughter, has learned how to drive, just now got their license, and they take their car out one night, and you get that phone call that no parent or grandparent ever wants to receive. There was an accident on I-10. Wow. You rush to the place with a feeling of dread in the pit of your stomach, and thankfully, although the car is totaled, you find the child alive. The car is lost, good bit of money lost, but how many of us at that moment are worried about lost money in the car? Of course not. All of us care about your child's life. You wrap your arms around that child as though you'll never let him or her go. See, Jesus primed the pump by telling first the stories of the lost sheep and the lost coin, but then he drives home his message with the story of the missing son, as we know that in the rest of the chapter it talks about the prodigal son. But listen to these similar words of Scripture. For God created all animals for man, and therefore by how much the more precious is the creation of man, so much the greater is God's care for him. Look at the birds of the air. Are you not much more valuable than they? Matthew 6:26. Fear not, You are more valuable than many sparrows. Matthew 10:29-31. Now, these are stories about value. We call them parables. As I said, that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But particularly, it's more about the value of human life. Even the Mark of Cain assures us that no matter what evil we have done or consequences that we face, that God values our lives and wants to keep us from harm. So I think it's clear that when we go missing, and we have, I have, God's primary focus is to search for us, or sometimes just wait for us. This is the difference, I think, that we see in these three stories. In the first two cases of the sheep and the coin, the owner searches frantically. But in the story of the son, the father sadly lets him go. He worries about him, longs for his return, then celebrates when he comes back. Now that's an entirely different story. You see, one of God's greatest gifts to humankind is the gift of freedom, the gift of choice, of discernment, self-motivated loyalty, of learning. And while a coin cannot return to us on its own, and neither a sheep, as it were, we, you and me, however, can return to God. And God hopes that we will, as much as a parent hopes that his or her teen will survive the hormones and the dangers and the temptations of being young and inexperienced in young adulthood. It's yet an opportunity for all of us to sometimes be in a misleading world or an unknown world. And sometimes we just say, wow, I trust in the child's ability to learn and to grow from these experiences and have a little bit of stability in their lives and roots. And God hopes the same for us. But in a sense, God raises us in faith to love, to dream, to hope, and to rely on God for guidance and wisdom. Now, it doesn't mean that we'll never encounter a challenge or difficulty, but it does mean we will never run into trouble or danger. It don't mean that, because we know how life has its twists and turns. We will encounter those kind of difficulties. But God lets us know that Jesus is always there. And if we stray, or worst, find ourselves lost, the Holy Spirit will offer to guide us. Jesus said when he goes home to be with the Father, he's going to send one greater than him. The Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside, the intercessor, and offers to help us and to guide us. And the Father then will welcome us as though we are the greatest prize and the most valuable, cherished thing in all the world. And we are. We are, in God's sight, precious. So today is a day of celebration in a lot of ways. For you and I are dearly loved. No matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, or where you are now, God adores you. Hear that, church. God adores you and will always welcome you home. Well, Father, we thank and praise you. As we talk about the gospel, the good news, and we learn to understand that even heavens rejoice when one lost sinner returns. What a joy it is. So it's a simple message for simple people. Father, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I made a mess of my life, and I'm out here wandering around aimlessly, and I heard that if I would just trust you and open my heart and let you in, you would not only help me, but you would save me from all the problems that I have in this world. The good news is we, no matter what, can be accepted into God's kingdom once and for always more. What a joy to know that God is there for us. In Jesus' precious name, hope and pray you're having a good day. And lift up and think about people on this day, September the 11th. It was a challenging time in this world. And we know God took care of all those folks that was in the tower. But it's hard because they're missing too. But we are in the presence of the Almighty. And we look for the ones that are missing. And if we can't find them, we say, Lord, thank you for taking good care of them. And pray that you'll be safe until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.